Welcome, everyone. I'm John Melke, and it is a treat today to be joined by former UW Parkside faculty member Dwayne Olson. Dwayne was part of the teacher education at UW Parkside for more than 28 years, from 1973 to 2001. Dwayne, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, allow me to start the program by reading a portion of the UW Parkside Resolution of Appreciation, PSF 14/02-03.
Oh, my.
Whereas Professor Dwayne Olson, teacher education, distinguished himself as a dedicated and effective teacher, as an outstanding citizen, particularly through his involvement with the Racine Unified School District Board, the Racine Interfaith Coalition, and the Racine Public Library Board of Trustees. And whereas Professor Olson was instrumental in establishing the Constitution Bowl, an event that still brings hundreds of Wisconsin high school students to the UW-Parkside campus each year. Be it resolved that the Faculty Senate pays tribute to Professor Olson's record as an outstanding teacher of teachers, expresses gratitude for his many services to the community, and wishes him the very best in retirement. So there was Resolution 14/02-03.
And what was the date on that?
I'm going to guess that the 0203 means 0203 academic year.
That's when I retired in January of 02.
Yeah. So that was there. Some very nice things that were said. Now, Dwayne, you came to Parkside not long after the university was founded.
Five years.
So what influenced your decision to join the university as, you know, it's a younger institution?
Okay, I had finished, or I was in the process of finishing my PhD at Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa, and I had an office mate by the name of Patricia Keith. And Pat Keith was a PhD from Washington University in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her friends there was Paul Klein, and Paul Klein was chairman of teacher ed here at UW Parkside. And so then she recommended me to him and made me aware of the university. And mm-hmm. then there was another faculty member at Iowa State who was from this area and knew of this new university. And so she was speaking very highly of it. So I applied and ultimately was hired in the summer of 1973 and came in the fall of 73 and was here for 28 and a half years.
Wow. Well, we had some former UW Parkside basketball players on a few months ago and kind of posed that same question to them because they came here in the early 1970s. And,
yes.
You know, why did you start here? And the answer was kind of similar in that they knew somebody who knew somebody. So here was the coach, Steve Stevens, at the time, who knew Dick Versace, and Dick Versace had coached Malcolm Mahone, and so they knew each other. And in your case, There was someone that you knew. It was a relationship that brings you to Parkside.
Yes.
So, what are your impressions or recollections of the university as that young institution?
Well, it was very interesting. There was no student center there mm-hmm. at that time, and I do remember them putting in a gravel or a rock parking lot up there so we could park up closer to the buildings and that sort of thing. My offices always were in Greenquist Hall, so I guess I always had an office. The summer that I came to interview, I sat in an office that Stella Young from the English department, a very distinguished member of the English faculty, had, and so I remember being in her office as I was waiting to be interviewed, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else do I remember? It was friendly, and of course Paul Klein then was chairman of the division. Then mm-hmm. we had a whole new faculty. This was his second year. Paul had come to UW Parkside from the University of Chicago, and he had been in the teacher ed area at Chicago. And he decided that he didn't want to continue there because to place student teachers in Chicago was very difficult and that sort of thing. And he wanted an environment that was more manageable. So then when this position opened up at UW Parkside, he came here. And then ultimately he hired those of us who followed. And we really had quite a faculty here. We had a fellow by the name of Marv Happel, who had been a faculty member in Racine Unified, and he was one of the people who started one of these alternative schools in Racine, and it still is going. We had a African-American fellow by the name of Glenn Dostin, and in fact, a second African-American fellow by the name of Leo Bonner, and we had Barb Herlihy and myself and Teresa Peck from the University of Texas. I think she had been here a year ahead of me, and so forth. So we really had quite a faculty, and we had some part-time people. Esther Letvin was one of those people, and of course she's still around and a good friend, and a fellow by the name of Phil Gonzalez taught reading and so on. So Paul Klein then kind of pulled this group together. And Beecham Robinson then was also here. I think he had been here the previous year. So it was a very good faculty.
So is there a different dynamic with here's a group of faculty members that haven't worked together for a longer period of time, or there's not a group of a faculty, a department that's worked together for a longer period of time? Is that a different dynamic than, let's say, a faculty person coming in today to, we'll pick on geology. No, we don't have, it's geosciences, sorry. We'll pick on geography. Sorry, picked on the wrong one. We'll pick on geosciences. That someone comes into geosciences today and they're entering with a group of people that have been around for a bit. Was it different as that younger group of faculty members?
Well, not only was the faculty group younger and kind of a collection of people from a variety of backgrounds, but the program was, I think, open to being developed and so forth. So these were people who were interested in creating the best teachers that were possible to serve the Racine and Kenosha areas.
Right.
Of southeastern Wisconsin. And so we were all ambitious young faculty members, and we I think came from good backgrounds, and we were concerned about creating the best teachers possible for the school districts in this area.
Sure. Now, how at that time, as a new university, how important was it to develop the connections or the contacts and relationships with, like, the Racine Unified School District, Kenosha Unified School District, the school district in Burlington? How did that come about that you were able to make those connections?
I think Paul Klein was the person then who really led out on that. And the position that I had when I first came, they called it coordinator of clinical programs, the person who placed student teachers and practicum students out in the school. So it was incumbent upon me at working with Paul then to have relationships with the school district, and so then I made it my business then to do that. I had been a public school teacher for 12 years and had only been at Iowa State 3 years, so I had a strong public school background. And then we created an advisory committee of teachers and administrators for our program, and so all of those things, I think, added together helped us to bring us together with the school districts.
What were some of the, you think back and kind of, I don't want to say growing pains, but anytime there's something new, there's probably challenges or things you have to overcome. Anything stick out in your mind as far as, oh, here are some things that we kind of learned along the way in dealing with the, you know, having those connections with the school districts?
Well, I'm not thinking of anything particular related to the school districts. I guess we depended upon them for identifying outstanding teachers for our students then to work with. And so that was very important. And I think they did a very good job in terms of that. One of the things that we did internally, though, was the grade point requirements for education students when we came in 73 were pretty low, and I think 2.25 or something like that. And by the time that I left Parkside, they were at 2.75 and so forth. So we had raised the grade point requirements and the academic requirements then for our students considerably.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we, as a result of that, then we were turning out even an even better product.
Sure. And in the teacher education program at UW-Parkside, when it starts out, is it's a little bit different, right, than just the normal or normal than the than maybe what was current at the time, where you were getting a degree in a particular discipline and then studying to get your teacher licensure. Is that a correct summary
right.
of that?
Well, one part of that was in the elementary area. Our elementary education students had to have an academic major, a full academic major. So they were English majors, math majors, sociology, whatever it is was a full academic major.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas many institutions in the state of Wisconsin, including the UW system, elementary education was a major.
Right.
And so then we felt that we created stronger teachers because they all had a full academic background of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Did that take convincing, selling a little bit of to get people used to a little different concept?
You know, I don't think so. I think that the group of us that came together here in the first place was really willing to create the strongest teachers that we possibly could create.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we all were, I think, attuned to the idea of quality and high quality of teachers. And particularly, I think teacher education has had a bad rap in terms of not being very stringent, not being very demanding academically. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of the notes I made to myself it was talking about courses is I always tried to make sure that my courses weren't regarded as Mickey Mouse courses because that was, I guess, one of the slangs that was used and that sort of thing, that they were really demanding because there was knowledge in education that teachers needed to possess in order to work well with the children that they were dealing with, the students that they had.
Right. And as you start, as the new UW-Parkside teacher education program starts out, were most of the graduates then continuing to work in this area versus maybe going to another state or someplace else?
Yeah, generally, yes. Yeah, that is true, that most of them taught and ended up teaching in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And some went farther afield. I remember a girl that a student of ours went to Texas, and I visited with her. I think she was from Union Grove, and I visited her with one time, and she said she was talking with her principal, and he said, if you can get any more people from your institution to come down here, you send them down because we really appreciate high quality teachers. And that was a time when Texas had kind of cut back on their requirements and so forth for preparing teachers, and so on. So and I also remember another student who was our last German major. He was secondary certified and that sort of thing. And I don't know whether Larry didn't get a teaching job up here or just what, but he ended up going to Florida and ended up as a sheriff's deputy.
Oh, my gosh.
And of course, I always didn't like that because, I mean, he was really a good one. But he ended up as a deputy working in a school. So I thought, this guy knows schools and the culture of schools. And so he was working with some of the toughest kids in his high school.
Wow.
So it's just kind of interesting where people go.
It is, that to think that there is a person who I would suspect is definitely using his background in education to make him a stronger person in that position, because as you said, he understands the culture a little bit, understands the process.
And what teachers expect, and how you can behave, in order to get along with people and that sort of thing. So it's always a delight to talk to Larry. He comes back from time to time and he stops to see me and visit a couple hours and it's always a delight to learn what he is doing in this sort of peripheral area of education.
Sure. And do you get a chance to stay in touch with any other students that you've had, or do they stay in touch with you, or you kind of know where they are or what they're doing?
Well, one of the people that I probably have the most touch with is one of your associate professors here at Parkside, and that's Trenton Baylor in art.
Yeah.
We belong to the same church, and so I had Trenton when Trenton was student teaching. We had a seminar for student teachers. They would come in once a week, and we would deal with a variety of issues and that sort of thing and prepare them for applying for jobs. And so and Trenton was, I think, the only art student in there that particular semester. Mm. And so I got acquainted with him. And one of the things that it sort of impressed me about art was we had a faculty member for a few years who taught, I think, elementary art courses. And she said, you can tell how old children are by the art that they develop. And mm-hmm. and I always appreciated Dennis Byuzyk. Dennis Byuzyk was a challenge. I mean, anybody that he was the professor who supervised the student teachers in art here.
Okay.
And he really was demanding. And I
did he make them wear purple? Was that they all have to wear purple because he's always in purple, or maybe not for them, maybe just for him?
I don't know, but yeah. I always felt sympathy for those students because I knew they were really working hard. And so I see Trenton from time to time and talk to him about his experiences and that sort of thing.
Yeah, interesting. Part of your experience outside of UW-Parkside was serving on the Racine Unified School Board.
That was an education.
And so I'm curious, how did you get involved with that, and what was that experience like?
Well, actually, I was following a previous member of the faculty, Marv Happel, who was in the original faculty, at least the year he came, the year I did. And he got on the Racine Unified faculty, on the school board, and so on. And so then I guess maybe he set the model for that. And then I went on the school board in the fall of 89, October of 89. The school board member had resigned because her family moved away. Mm. And so I got appointed to a short term, and then I was elected to a one-year term and then a three-year term. And then I got voted out.
Oh, my gosh.
The Racine taxpayers didn't care for me because I wanted to spend money on kids and educate kids. And consequently, I didn't have many fans in the Racine Taxpayers Association. Anyway, but it was a great experience. And, of course, I taught school and society, which was sort of history and politics and sociology of education. And so I could bring those experiences then into that class and make it more meaningful to the students, which was the politics of education. And running was a good-sized school district.
Right. What were some of the things that maybe as you get on the board and you're serving that you kind of maybe went, didn't expect that. There's one that's kind of come out of left field, or anything that stands out?
Well, you know, one of the things that I was shocked at one time is that somehow we were talking about school social workers, and one of the board members said, well, so what do they do, you know, and so forth. And I thought of the kids in Unified, and particularly the poor kids and so forth, the needy kids. I mean, social workers did a lot of work helping kids, you know, negotiate the system and that sort of thing. I remember a social worker one time talking about visiting at home. And she said, you could see your breath in the home because the owner of the home had set the thermostat at a temperature that was cold.
Yeah.
And no wonder the child was ill in school and that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
And in fact, it's kind of interesting now because you see more and more concern about the mental health of students today.
Right.
I mean, that's a whole new dimension that I never thought much about, you know, as an educator.
Right. Yeah. No, I have a number of people in my family were educators. They're retired now, so of course I'm envious of them, but also friends that are educators. And you know, and when you get a chance to talk to someone who is in the classroom today or someone who's maybe recently been in the classroom, you know, it's not just about teaching, is it? There's so much more to the requirements of the profession.
And there was an article in the Racine Journal Times about 2-3 weeks ago that I was really angry over, because this I guess he was a school psychologist, but he was making generalizations about kids and their behavior in schools today without supporting those generalizations. And I really resist that, because I think there's so many teachers working so hard today to educate these children, and kids know, or at least many kids know, or most kids know, that if you don't have an education today, you're not going very far in the world that we live in.
Right.
And that these kids are going to live in.
Right, right, yeah. And I see what, I don't know all the details of what Racine Unified is doing, but with the academy model that they're using at Park and Horlick and Case, and I was talking to a student from Case, and she said, oh, she loves the academy model. And I think she was going into, like, do they have more of, like, maybe the health or bio?
Yes, they do.
Biosciences,
yes.
There? Yeah, so she was going into that, and she said, oh, I love the model. I love the, you know, doing what I'm doing. So that's a little something different that Racine Unified is trying to help students succeed, right?
And what's happening, too, with the academy model, and I think with education K-12 now, is it's getting to be more applied. It's not just sit and get. It's do, you know, not only learn about it, but do whatever it is if that is possible. And the academy model certainly carries out the doing and so on. And that certainly is much better education, but it also needs more resources. And that's right. Where we as taxpayers come in. We have to provide those resources in order for our kids to compete in the society in which they're going to live.
Right, right. As many who are listening, I hope there's many listening anyway.
Yes.
That
I always think that on WGTD too.
Who's out there? Raise your hands, please. But speaking of WGTD, you've been doing Education Matters for a number of years. Why do you like doing that?
Well, because it gives me an opportunity then to maybe feature program ideas that maybe get neglected otherwise, or don't get the attention that they should have, say from the newspaper and so forth. I'm really very positive about public education, and so that's kind of what I do. And the latest program I had Mike Frontier on from the Racine Unified School Board and their chief financial officer. And another school board member, Jane Barbian, we were talking about a report that the state legislature just put out called the Blue Ribbon Task Force on Education, and they've got 13 things they're recommending, and this is bipartisan too, so it's Democrats and Republicans, in terms of improving Wisconsin's public schools. And I just think it's an incredible report. And I think people need to get behind it and urge their legislatures to support it. And it's going to take time because it's going to call for a lot of resources, but it still is very good. I want to mention one other thing that I did as a faculty member. George Wong from sociology, you know,
yeah,
George?
Yeah.
Well, okay, George is Chinese, you know, okay. And George came to me back in about 1999, and he said there is a federal program to take teachers, social studies teachers, to China. Are you interested in working with me on getting a grant to do this? And ultimately, then we got this grant, and we took, I believe, 13 Racine, Kenosha, and Burlington middle and high school teachers to China for 1 month in the summer of 2000, the month of July. And of course, George fluent in, I mean, he's Chinese. I mean, he was fluent in Chinese. And so we went, you know, he could get us anywhere.
Sure.
And so forth. And it was just a wonderful experience for these teachers and a wonderful experience for me.
Right, right. You see, you get a different perspective on the process. Right, right.
And
on your WGTD Education Matters program, what are some of the topics that, you know, that you've touched on where maybe you think, oh, that was some, you know, a little bit more of one of the more interesting shows or an interesting perspective or someone that, that brought something to the conversation that, that you recall?
Well, I mean, I've done a lot of shows then through the year. I think one of the regular ones I do is a woman by the name of Kathy Dunkerson, who works for Racine Unified, and she does the before and after school programming for the school district. And that has come a long ways. And she's a very creative person. And in fact, I have her on about once a year. And about two or three years ago, she told me that a high school student at Case High School had come to her with an idea. And so she picked up with him on it and developed whatever the program was. And I think it was for middle school kids.
Wow.
And that sort of thing. So I think there's great enrichment possible for kids. And basically, I think she does the after school part of it now. And there has been federal support for that, but that's been political too. Mm-hmm. And then the state of Wisconsin apparently has just stepped in to do that. And not only does it then provide great activities for kids, like even dealing with their homework and providing a little snack and that sort of thing, but also enrichment kinds of activities to open up the world to them or for them so that they have even a broader perspective on the world that they live in and the community that they live in.
Mm-hmm. As a person who was who served on the Racine Unified Board, how would you describe? Everyone usually has an opinion about education.
If
you go out and you start talking, you will find there will be different opinions. But as a board member, did you see involvement from the public in what the board was doing, or not so much, or on certain topics, or?
I think from certain people, then you saw involvement. You know, depending on what the issue was that came up. And when I was thinking about preparing for this, and I was looking over my former students and so forth, I thought of this young woman by the name of Jennifer Miner, was her maiden name, Jennifer Miner Klaus. I think she taught at Case High School for several years, and then now she's at Union Grove High School. And her parents tended to come to school board meetings and so forth, and so I got to know her parents then and so forth. So some people, you know, turned up depending on what the issue was and so forth, and were concerned. And as a school board member, I certainly welcomed those people because my own children had gone through Racine Unified and a couple grandchildren, but it's always good to get other people's perspectives as well.
Sure. What do you think are some of the, as you meet people in the community and talk to them about education, what are some of the things that you see where you can help others understand maybe the process or the detail behind a particular issue? Are there kind of key issues that people seem to talk to you about?
You know, I don't know so much about that. One of the things I did in my church for probably 30 years was I would have a forum every spring for school board candidates, so that the members of the congregation, and then we invited the community to come too, so that they could meet school board members and hear what these people had to say and see what the contrasts were, and so that they could then be better educated as voters then, and I thought that was an important contribution that I made to the community. I want to go back to another international thing that I did. I had an opportunity. I had a friend at Iowa State who made me aware that Aramco, Arab American Oil Company in Saudi Arabia, was hiring people to write curriculum for a training program over there. Wow. So I applied, and I got a three-month stint over in Saudi Arabia in 84. And that really helped me to really focus on writing curriculum. This one person I worked with, he'd say, nice to know and need to know. Get need to know in there, and so forth. And nice to know, maybe if you had space. That's right. And then when I came back to Parkside, it was interesting because we had several Saudi students here. So then I got acquainted with these Saudi. They weren't in education, but I got acquainted with them and got to have some nice friends in that particular group. And I have had a better understanding, I think, of the Muslim world, the Islamic world, than as a result of that 3-month experience in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that, that because you were there and because you were participating in the community and the society, right. you saw things a little bit different than prior to going there.
Right, and I was in social studies. I taught the elementary and middle school social studies program and the high school one for teachers preparing social studies people. And so I think I had a broader cultural understanding, and I could bring this understanding to them, hopefully, and because I had had that kind of an experience. And getting to the Middle East, there are not that many people who have had that kind of experience. And a 3-month experience was really an in-depth kind of thing, somewhat in-depth.
Right. No, it definitely is an amount of time where instead of just going someplace and being there for a day or two, just enough time to go, where am I? And then leaving, it gives a different perspective.
And I got acquainted, too. We got acquainted, this group that I was with and writing curriculum, we got acquainted with these young people from Jordan, the country of Jordan. Mm-hmm. They were male nurses in the clinics there. Mm. And one of them had a brother-in-law who was there as a teacher from Jordan. So then I got invited to their home and, I mean, had a meal sitting on the floor. They asked me, I was 50 years old at the time, and they asked me if I could sit on the floor, you know, or would I would like to sit at the dining room table. I said, I can sit on the floor, you know.
Yeah.
So we had this meal, but it was all male. You never saw the wife, you know, and so forth, and so forth. Saw the little children and so forth, but it was strictly a male experience.
Interesting.
Really different culture, but good for me to understand as a social studies teacher.
Right, right. Well, Dwayne, first off, thank you very much for taking the time to come in and talk with us on Parkside today. Whenever I glance over to see where the time is on the program, and I know it's a great program, when I look over and go, really? We're that far into it already? The time goes by very fast. So, again, thank you for being with us. It was Dwayne Olson, who is a past faculty member here at UW Parkside in the teacher education program. He also served on the Racine Unified School Board. And, Dwayne, we appreciate having you here, and people can tune in and hear Education Matters with Dwayne Olson on WGTD. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot.